Good evening. Good to see everybody here again this morning, this afternoon, this evening. How about that? A couple of announcements before we get started that came out of our men's meeting that we wanted to announce. Number one, we will be making another payment on the house on the hill in the amount of $25,000. That will leave us with $5,000 left to pay, with the intent to review it by the end of the year. The second thing to bring to everybody's attention is that at the next men's business meeting, we will be putting together a budget for 2019. Okay, I'm stuck in the past, can't you tell? For 2019, to make decisions about salary-wise for a full-time minister. It was decided that there would be one phone call placed to a potential candidate already to gauge their interest in going ahead and trying out. And the other thing that came out of our men's business meeting, that I'm adding this part, okay, that as a congregation we need to get together to decide and figure out how we want to do the scheduling, is to have a nursery during assembly times. Assembly times being Sunday morning worship service and Sunday evening worship service, to try to work out a rotation to where one person's not always doing it. Okay, and that is just to for the smaller children, so they have a place to go in the event that they need it. Okay, did I miss anything, gentlemen? Is that it? Yes. We have a few things that we need the room in the storage. The windows, if anybody would like to have the windows that are out in storage, please feel free to take them. There's also one thing back here on the back porch here that I moved out yesterday. I think it's an old projection screen. I don't just want to throw that out. If anybody wants to have it, feel free to take that too. Okay, there's a couple other items back here in the back, out the back porch, that are just boxes of old papers. Oh, the other thing too is the books that we collect to send off, the reason why we keep the old books, whatever we need to do with them as well. Okay, now, did I cover everything? Okay. If you have any other questions about what was discussed or more details, just feel free to ask anybody, okay? All right, this evening. Yes?
I'll let it go, or Wednesday before I'll let everybody have a Wednesday on the windows.
Oh, yes.
If not, I'll swing by Wednesday on the way home to work.
Okay, yeah, work.
And I'll have a story or all this stuff.
Okay, all right. I don't preach a lot about the subject I'm going to preach about tonight. I don't talk about it a lot, not because I don't want to. It's because I don't feel it's necessary to talk about it all the time. But in order to bring some balance to my preaching, hell is not a pleasant place that we like to talk about. Because when I was growing up, it was more commonplace to talk about it. A lot, and maybe you do too, back from you were growing up and being raised in the church. And I think the reason why kind of why we've gotten away from it a little bit is because we have come to the realization that it is not a good way to try to reach somebody to talk about Jesus. It's not the only way. There's a lot more effective ways to reach people with the good news other than talking about hell. And it's not really, for us in the room that are Christians, it's not really a great way to motivate us to do anything out of love. You want to motivate somebody to do something out of fear, by all means, that's a great way to do it, I suppose. But we do not have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of love, all right? And, you know, and it's kind of scary to talk about, because there are places in the Bible that deal with some very scary topics, and we'd be doing a disservice just to gloss over those. So tonight, just very briefly, I want to turn our attention to some of those texts that maybe are a little uncomfortable, and if you want to turn in your Bibles with me, I apologize for not having it on the screen. But the first one we're going to cover is Isaiah chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 9. And just so you can be thinking ahead, our primary text is going to be Luke chapter 16, but this is the text I'd like to read first. Isaiah chapter 14. Now, for some context here, Isaiah is, this is talking about the ruler of Babylon. That's what this passage is talking about. Okay, so Isaiah 14, starting in verse 9, says, Sheol, or hell, from beneath is excited over you, to meet you when you come. It arouses for you the spirits of the dead, all the leaders of the earth. It raises all the kings of the nations from their thrones. They will all respond and say to you, even you have been made weak as we. You have become like us. Your pride and the music of your harps have been brought down to Sheol, or hell. Maggots are spread out as your bed beneath you, and worms are your covering. Now, can you imagine, just for a moment, if that were talking about us? You know, if that somehow applied to us, wouldn't that scare the living daylights out of you? I mean, just the thought of verse 9 alone that says, Sheol from beneath is excited over you to meet you when you come. You can almost hear the evil laugh, if you will, kind of, you know, as you're reading that. But this whole section of Scripture, like I said, is talking about pride in the king of Babylon. But lest we get too prideful too, the application might be there as well. And now whether this talk and this language is symbolic or not, we don't know. But it's never a pleasant thing to think about a place that is so terrifying. But in our modern day, and how sensitive we are and overly sensitive we are as a culture today, we don't like hearing things like that. We like things about love and mercy and forgiveness. And like I said, I'm bringing balance to this because I honestly can't preach love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness and not talk about the other side of the coin here. All right, so nobody misconstrue what I'm doing here tonight. All right, please don't. And you have to remember that even Jesus talks about this place that is prepared for who, though? Remember, for the devil and his angels. Now, that's one thing that we do need to focus on as Christians. Okay? And remember that those people that don't follow Jesus and that reject Jesus and don't accept Him as their Savior, that will be the place that they end up. And in Luke chapter 16, you can go ahead and start turning over there. I'm not quite ready to read it yet, but just so you can be there whenever the time comes, you can go ahead and turn over there, Luke chapter 16. We will start eventually in verse 19. But in Luke chapter 16, you have two men here who meet their eternal home, you know, and or their consequences, if you will. And just like heaven is a real place, and we have absolutely no problem talking about heaven, do we? We talk about heaven for everything that it is, for how beautiful it's going to be, and all of the rest and all of the peace that's going to be there. And God is and Jesus are like waiting there for us, you know, to welcome us in at the end of our lives. We have no problem talking about that. But whether we believe in it or not, because there are people out there that believe in the one and don't believe in the other. I know that does not sound like it can be possible, but there is. Just as heaven exists, hell exists also. And what you find is that hell is a consequence of living a relationship outside of God. But we don't talk about a lot about hell because in our culture of almost entitlement and selfishness, we can't comprehend something that we can't control our thoughts of. Does that make sense? I'm going to put it another way. We want to be able to, as human beings, be able to kind of manipulate and to mold something into something that we want it to be. And we can't do that with hell. There's people that will do that with heaven, you know. Oh, heaven's just one big giant golf course, and I'm just up there teeing it off all day long, you know. That's what people like to do with heaven. They like to think of heaven as being different for everybody. But bottom line is, with heaven, I can't tell you what it's going to look like, really and truly, other than the fact that God's there and Jesus is going to be there, and that's all that matters to me. And for those that are in hell, God or Jesus is not there, and that's ultimately what matters to them. And I'll tell you why I make that conclusion when we get to our text here in a minute, okay? But, you know, there's really been this shift in the last few years in Christianity as a whole. I'm not talking about the church here. I'm talking about Christianity as a whole. The way that the gospel's taught and the way that God is presented is that there's been a shift away from looking forward to the next life, looking forward to eternity, and the shift has went over to how can we make this life better. Okay? And now let me repeat that, because there's been a shift from looking forward to life after this to how can we make life better here now. This life's not pleasant. Okay, there's pleasant parts of it, but on the whole, it's not that great compared to what awaits us after here. So why do we spend so much time worrying about what's here now and little time worried about what's after? Okay, and I think that's where that shift has come on, because this was something I needed to bring out this morning. And that when we talked about the water into wine this morning, there's actually a thought process out there that because Jesus didn't want to do something, but because Mary was his mother and she was so close to Jesus, he did it anyway. People will actually take that and teach that, well, you can get close enough to God that you can make God do things for you, or that he will do something for you in return for something else. You know, it's kind of like, well, if I'm a good little boy, I'll get this. You know, and but you can laugh and we can shake our heads and scoff, but it is being taught. Okay? You look at your mega preachers, and that is at the core of what they teach. But what happened to focusing on eternity? I mean, what happened? You know, our life is but a vapor, James tells us. It's just gone in the blink of an eye, and I don't know when it happened that we started worrying more about this life than eternity, because I would encourage you to look at Jesus' words very carefully throughout the New Testament. Everything that he speaks about, on the whole, I mean, not everything, but it has to do with what comes after this life is over. It's always about that relationship with God. And we're going to now read in Luke chapter 16, verse 19. It's a story I know we're all familiar with. But let's just read it together. It says, "Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, that you may send him to my father's house, for I've got five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have the prophets and Moses, let them hear.' But he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' But he said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead.'" In short, what you have here is an example of what happens when a person lives a self-centered, egotistical lifestyle. You know, and this is not, you know, it is about heaven and hell. It is. But ultimately, it's about the choices that each individual makes, and that includes you and me. It's about the choices that we make with what we have. And I think the reason why the rich man's name is never mentioned is because the rich man can be anybody. It could be anybody out there. And the saddest thing about this story when I read it is to think about the fact that the greatest thing that we could lose is absolutely nothing that we have as a possession. It's only lost because of the choices that we make. Because you see, Lazarus gained heaven because of the choices that he made. And on the other side of the coin is the rich man lost heaven because of the choices that he made. And at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, you remember what Jesus says, don't you? He gives us a choice. He says, you either build your house on what? You either build your house on the rock, or you build your house on the sand. Meaning that we can either choose to live for him, or we can choose to live for ourselves. He gives us that choice every day. Is he Lord, or are you Lord? And Jesus doesn't make that choice for us. That's why we have free will. We were all created with an ability to make up our own minds. And there's this thought process that God loves everybody so much that he would never send anybody to hell. But that misses the whole point. God does not send anybody to hell. We could send ourselves. Because we are that powerful. And you don't think I'm lying, you know. You can talk to me afterwards, okay, if you want to, if you have a disagreement about that. We are very powerful human beings because we can make that choice to not listen to God. We can make that choice to not to submit to Him, to not obey His will. And it could cost us an eternity worth of regret. But I want you to remember a couple of things when you look at this story. Scripture doesn't say how this guy got his money. We don't know. We're only left to conjecture. He could have inherited it. He could have been a very good businessman. But there's another important truth in here I want you to look at too. The Scripture never says that he is a bad guy. He is not an evil person. He could have been a good husband. He could have been a good father. He could have been very prominent in the community, etc., etc., etc. You could go on. All right? But there's one key thing that we know is lacking, and that's a relationship with God. Because somewhere along the line, he lost sight of the fact that everything that he had came from God. And that his possessions actually owned him. He didn't own his possessions. And that's an application for us too, because you have to understand that when death comes calling for us, there's not a single thing on this earth materially that we can take with us. I've said this a few times, I know, when I've been up here, but it bears repeating. There's only two things we get to take when we go to heaven, or excuse me, when we go in judgment. We get to take our soul and our relationship with God, and that's it. That's all we get to take with us. The rest of it is just left here. We were just put in charge of it for a little while. That's it. The hard work, the money, the property that we have, nothing. It's gone. Can't take it with us. In our lives today, people are always encouraged to plan for the future. You know, I can't lie. I'm only 35, but it's like, okay, you know, it's just a fact of life. You think about the day that you don't have to work anymore, right? Retirement. So you plan ahead. Everywhere on TV, I watch a lot of hockey, but I'm just going to put to you this way. Hockey's main sponsors are the stock traders, like TD Ameritrade and Scottrade and Wells Fargo and those places. I like to see a lot of commercials for that because I like to watch hockey on TV. But, you know, they always encourage you to invest in, and maybe invest in properties or invest in retirement accounts, invest in stocks and bonds, and you name it, you know. And the thing about those things is when we do that, we get those nice little paper statements in the mail, right, that says, here's what your starting account balance was and, you know, whether it went up or down. Hopefully it went up. But the point I'm trying to make is we take all this time and we invest things like our time and our effort and our money, and we get that nice piece of paper, and it's something we can look at and we can quantify it, right? We look on a computer screen. But now, conversely, on the spiritual side of things, we invest in prayer. We should invest in studying God's Word and getting the deeper meaning of it. We should take time to maybe attend a lectureship maybe this week down there at Harrisburg, or a revival, or a gospel meeting, or you name it. But the thing about those things is you can't see the quantification of that like you can with an investment of money, all right? Just something to think about, all right? And it's easy to get discouraged and say, I don't feel like I'm growing. Well, that's because you can't quantify it, okay? Sometimes you're growing and you don't even know that you're growing. I mean, it can happen, you know. You can look back, which, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe myself, if I personalize this, I can look back and say that I'm in a better place than I was 10 years ago. You know, maybe you can say the same thing. But either way, that's a way of quantifying it. But we can't get hung up on the fact that maybe the growth isn't happening as fast as we want it to, you know. And that goes for the church collectively as well, whether it's this local congregation or whether it's the church globally, you know. God is always working. I'm going to say that again. God is always working. But we have to have faith that He's working. And that's what it boils down to is. We cannot limit God's power at all by our human thinking that because we can't see the evidence of it, that it's not happening. Let's see. You know, to go back to the text, you know, you read there, the rich man, he's tormented in the flame. Not only is he tormented, but it also says, you know, it also gives the indication that he can remember. Because Abraham says to him, what's he say to him? He says, son, remember that in your lifetime. So that indicates that he has all of his past thoughts and memories from where he used to be. And now he is left to dwell on that fact for eternity of all of the opportunities that he had. The opportunities he had to obey the gospel or to fall after God, you know, or to seek what was good. Because at least while we're here on this earth, there's always that second chance. There's always that chance for redemption, and there's always that chance that we can, for those that are outside of Christ, that we can repent and we can come to God and submit to Him and come into a relationship with Him. But there will come a point where love, grace, and mercy will be unreachable. You know, it's going to happen. In verse 27, he pleads and says, please send someone to my family. And suddenly, he was not thinking about himself anymore. You see how quickly that changed? Something to be involved in as terrible as that place of punishment really turned his thinking around to where he was no longer thinking about himself. He started thinking about his family. But we are right here, right now, still living in a place where God answers our prayers. Sadly, hell is a place where God will not hear our cries at all. Just remember that we have the opportunity to follow Jesus right here and right now. And now I know I've been preaching a lot to people that are outside, you know, to those that might make the decision to live a life not following after God. But the very thought and the very fact that hell exists, if that doesn't motivate you and I to go out there and to save as many people from this as we can, there's the application for hell in our life. Okay? We shouldn't want anyone, period, to go to a place so terrible where there is no love, there is no grace, there is no forgiveness, there is no mercy, there is no answer to prayer, and on and on and on and on and on. That should be our motivation that we take away from this lesson tonight. Like I say, my intention is never, ever to get anybody to question their eternal destiny. Never. But the reason for bringing this up, I said it at the outset, is to bring balance, but also to remind you that this is the reason why we are given the ultimate privilege of going out and spreading the gospel, is so that we can save as many people as we can from going to a place that no person should ever have to go. I want for those out there to have the same thing that I have. The hope of eternal life and the shot of redemption that is available in Jesus Christ and the cleansing power of His blood. Remember these words of Jesus. But what will it profit a man if he should gain the whole world but lose his soul? Our life is but a vapor. We've got on average here, 80 years here on this earth. That's it. But it's nothing compared to eternity. And if we concern ourselves only with the cares of this life and give no thought to eternity, unfortunately, we might find ourselves like the rich man, remembering all the opportunities that we had to follow Jesus or to not follow Jesus. So this evening, as I close up, use hell as a motivating factor in your life and not out of fear. Use it as a motivating factor for love. I know that sounds kind of weird. You've probably never heard it said that way before, but make a resolve to love the people around you so much that you don't want them to go to a place of eternal torment and separation from God. And if you need to respond to the gospel, we would encourage you to do that. And if you need the prayers of the church, we'd also encourage you to do that too. The invitation is always open, and it's open right now as together we stand and sing number 537.